All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, the great rivals of the Houston Dynamo, Sporting Kansas City, single elimination, doesn't get better than this in Major League Soccer. He's been a great guest on this show over the years. He is the head coach of Sporting Kansas City. By the way, the longest tenured coach in Major League Soccer with four trophies. He's Peter Vermees. Peter, thank you very much, as always, for being generous with your time and coming on.
My pleasure, Glenn.
Okay, so the first thing I want to get to is, you know, everybody's going, holy smoke, Sporting Kansas City hasn't won a game in the first 10. Just take us into that time period, you as a coach, what you're thinking. Is there any doubts? Are you building your players up? All the things that go through a coach and a staff during a period like that.
I think you never think you're going to be in that situation. But you also realize that, you know, if you're only coaching the team in the good times, then anybody could do the job. You're actually brought in for the difficult times. And so it was a difficult time. But what I would say is, I'm not going to say that I didn't expect to not win a game in the first 10, but I would say I didn't expect us to be on fire in the first 10, because I still knew the situation that we're in from the previous year. And as you know, with this league and the mechanisms that you can to use to build your roster, at times they can be very limited. And so we were in this place of having to be patient to wait for those guys to come back. But again, not thinking that you're not going to win a game in the first 10.
Yeah. And of course you had all these injuries in a period like that, when you are missing people. I mean, what can you learn? Can you learn that there's a player maybe that you can give more responsibility to, some things like that?
I think it's always the same, right? When you build a roster, you already know that there's a group of guys that you expect to give the majority of minutes to. Then there's this next group you think, hey, they're gonna offload some of those minutes, you know, US Open Cup and other things that you do. And then you have the final piece, you're bringing up this other group that's young, and you're trying to get them to get into that, you know, second bucket, and then hopefully into the first bucket at some point. And what happens, though, is that gets accelerated really quickly, because now when you got a bunch of guys out, you got to go to the second group, and you got to say you're going to take on majority of minutes. And then you're going to that other group and you're saying, hey, you guys are going to start getting some real time. And and I would say that you find out some really good things and you find out some bad things. You find out, but I would say all of it is good, because at the end of the day, you're either finding out a guy can do it or he can do it. You're just accelerating the timeline. And but I also think that experience is also good for later on in the season, because those guys normally wouldn't get minutes. And if you now put them in your team later on, you actually can play. And we've had to do that quite a bit throughout the season.
Peter Vermees joining us, head coach of Sporting Kansas City. You got incredible loyalty and a great staff. Kerry Zavagnin, who you played with, was an excellent player in his career. Zoran Savic, same thing. Tell me about that relationship, because it's not often you see, you know, assistant coaches and a team like this staying together for this duration of time.
You know, when we took on, I think it was 2009, we took on the last 10 games of the season, because we removed the coach at the time. And I came in and I took over the last 10 games. And Kerry was already on the staff. That was his first year, though. And Zoran was, you know, here in town. He had just come back from coaching with Preki at Chivas USA at the time. And Z didn't want to be in California anymore. He's away from his family the whole time. And so I knew Z, but I didn't know him, you know, really, really well, but I knew him. And so I went to both of them and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to, you know, take on these last 10 games. You guys want to, you know, help me out here at the end of the season. So they did. The end of the season, when I made the decision that I was going to continue to keep doing it, I went to them and I said, look, a big decision for me to do this is if you guys are going to also be in, because I like the camaraderie. I like the back and forth, very open conversations. We argue, you know, they have their say, you know, we do all that. There's a lot of clubs that don't do that, right? They're not honest. Coach is more like a dictator to the rest of the staff and just says, this is what we're doing, this is the way we're going to do it. But I have a good relationship with those guys. We work well together. And I think, you know, I think it's like anything, but you know, as a player as well, you're always trying to find a home. Well, I think as a staff, you're trying to do the same, and that's what we found here.
Peter Vermees joining us, Sporting Kansas City, ahead of a great setup for a single elimination playoff match in Major League Soccer. They'll visit Houston. I don't see you as the type of guy that want yes men. I mean, I see you as the type of guy as a manager that wants people that can enhance what you're doing. Just take me into maybe, you know, what does Carey bring that's different from Zoran? And I just am fascinated by the relationship and the putting together of a coaching staff.
Well, the interesting thing for me with those guys is that I would say that both of them are actually, I mean, there's a lot of things they agree on about the game, but then there's also an aspect of the game that they are on opposite sides of, where I'm the guy in the middle, which is usually they're accommodating me, right, in the hierarchy of it all. But it's actually the other way around, is that I have a little bit of the extreme on both. And so I get to, and I'm probably a little bit more in the middle of all of it. And so it winds up being, you know, again, very good conversation. Believe me, there's times where we have some knockdown, drag out, you know, arguments in our, what I call our preparation room, if you will. So we call it our war room. And it does. It's sometimes it's battles in there. But the good thing about it is that nobody ever gets their feelings hurt. And when we walk out that door, we're all on the same page. And that part has been very consistent. And I think that's what you need in a staff.
He's Peter Vermees joining us ahead of the playoffs. All right, so you go from a three-game set where you knock off St. Louis. I mean, you really put it to them in St. Louis. That was after winning on penalties against San Jose. So where are you guys now confidence-wise? You haven't lost in five. I mean, you're hitting this at the right time, right?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. We emotionally, we went through it, right? From the beginning of the season, even all through like the last probably 10 games of the season, and then into the playoffs. So getting this little break has been a help. Obviously, the two-game or three-game series with St. Louis was a battle. I mean, those games were fast and furious and high intensity. Probably some of the most intense games that I've been a part of in this league. Really, really intense games. And the players, also the level of concentration and execution was tremendous. Where we are now is that we're in this place of whatever we got to do is we got to do it on the road. And you know how hard it is to win on the road in this league. Just look at all the teams that went through. Every single team was a higher seed, except for us. So we know that we have our work cut out for us, and we know that, you know, going into Houston, it's always a difficult place. They're just a tough team in the way that they go about their business. They play every role of the ball. They defend really well. They have very good ideas on the ball. And I think Herrera is such a big part of all of that. He kind of controls the game. He really uses his experience to sort of set the table for the group. And so we know that it's a huge challenge for us to go there. They're in a really good time and a really good moment. And we're walking in the lion's den, but we got to get prepared for that. And hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we can do that.
You know, just sticking to Hector Herrera, because it's been such a joy to watch him play the game down here and the influence that he has on all the aspects, all the lines of the team. Do you see anybody else in the league? And maybe this is a bit of a loaded question, but do you see anybody else in the league that has that entire type of influence over a team? And I say that partially because he ends up in all these different areas of the team. So it's natural that you say, okay, yeah, he's influencing, you know, he's coming back to pick the ball up. He's tackling in his own box. It's pretty impressive.
He is. I think I'm not sure. I'd have to really sit back and think, which tells you there's not a lot of guys that do what he does. He does have a significant control on the group and he does it in a very humble way. You can tell. So from a player point of view, I have an incredible amount of respect watching him and seeing what he's done. But he's, as I think you use a great word, he has a great influence on the rest of the group.
Peter Vermees joining us. All right, so I'm going to take you into your striker, Alan Pulido. You got him healthy finally. You were a striker in your early days before becoming a center back and playing so well at that position as well. Take us a little bit into his intricacies and why this man is such a good striker in your opinion.
So you remember the player. You remember Jaime Moreno at DC?
Of course.
Okay. I always say that Alan has like a very similar intellect, IQ for the game. Jaime could, you know, Jaime was an attacking player. He could play if he needed if the team needed him in a game, but nobody needed to tell him. He could do it himself. If he needed to go wide and provide service, he could do that. If he needed to be the underneath forward, he could do that. If he needed to be the target guy, he could do that. If he needed to go back and be a number 10, he could do it. And he always was able instinctively to figure out what the game needed and then add to it. Alan has this, like I'll give you an example. We played in St. Louis for the first game in the playoffs here. When you look at him and how he was in between two, three, four guys receiving a ball, keeping it, and then being able to find combination play out of those two, three, four guys around him, there's not a lot of players that can do that. And so, you know, if you rewind the tape and you say, okay, each time that he was in those areas, that if he would have lost those balls, how are you then as a team? Well, that means that they're going at you. And what it did was it gave us relief. He can make a final pass. Like, he's had, I can't tell you how many assists he's had in the last, you know, three games in the playoffs. But it's because he can change his mode to fit the circumstance. The other thing is that he's not, as you know, when a lot of foreign players come in and they're DPs and they're big guys, I mean, what comes with it is a huge ego. He is an incredibly humble guy within and around the team. And I think that sets itself up for a good relationship with the rest of his teammates because they see that he works hard, but he's also humble, and he'll do whatever he needs to do for the team. And he wants to win. Like, he wants to be on the field. He's not one of those guys like, oh, coach, take me out. Like, he wants to be out there. So all those things, I think, you know, at the end, what they do is they propel him into a position where everybody looks up to him, and rightfully so.
I would think that's very attractive to you coming from the era that we've come from, that where humility was accelerated as a strength. You know, I see the same thing with Herrera, like the little things that he does with younger players. You know, there's one game he could have scored and he set up a guy who hadn't scored. It was a younger guy. I mean, just remarkable stuff by these guys. So Pablo Mastroianni said in the last series here in Houston, he said, you live and die by your best players. Do you agree with that? Kind of a tough one.
I think when you get to these moments, you expect your best players to be there. I think what you're looking to do is you're looking to at times get some guys to overachieve that are, I'm not talking about your best players, some of the other guys. They have to have, you know, games. They have to have real games. They have to bring it in these opportunities. And the other is that I think what you also, and I would take it away from players and just say across the board, in these types of games, concentration over the 90 minutes is everything.
Yeah. Down here, Peter, I think everybody thinks over the years with the great games of Sporting Kansas City, my sense is that everybody believes this is the greatest Houston Dynamo rival. It's surpassed FC Dallas because of the nature of some of the games, the history, the volume of games, the changing of conferences. Is that something you feel too?
I think if you go back, you go to 11, 12, 13, our biggest hurdle, you know, I could relate it this way. Like, we were the, you know, and, you know, please take it all with due respect. Like, it was like the Chicago Bulls trying to get over the Detroit team, right? The Pistons.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't do it, you know, and we had that same issue. And then we finally did it. And that was kind of like, all right, now let's go. And So I think those teams helped mature us. I think those teams made us ready to eventually win because of the toughness of the games that we went through. It's the same thing I would say about the, you know, what people don't take into consideration. When we didn't win those first 10 games, from that point forward, once we won, which was the game against Seattle in Seattle, every game was a pressure cooker for us because we needed to gain as many points as we possibly could for the rest of the season to try to get ourselves into the playoffs. So when you, our whole objective, my whole objective at that point was, I told the guys, we have to get to Leagues Cup and keep ourselves in striking distance of the playoffs. So once Leagues Cup is over and we make that final push, we got to be in a place where we can actually get into the playoffs. You got to understand, like, those games at the very end, I mean, every one of them was a final for us. And so we had to use a lot of guys as well. And a lot of guys have gotten good experience at games that meant something, which was good for our team.
I mean, you were walking away from draws on the road, which you might have said, hey, this is a good result, going, oh, my God, we didn't take 3 points, right?
Correct. Correct. It was – and imagine also managing the psyche of the team in those situations, because that's where it really was. But that's where I give the guys a lot of credit. They stayed committed. They came to training every day. They worked. They knew we were on a mission. And I commend them for being able to get to where we're at.
Peter Vermes, head coach of Sporting Kansas City, longest tenured coach in Major League Soccer. How much of that did you have to do? You know, how much building up of guys? I mean, you know, I guess the general rule is when you're not doing well, you're building people up. When you're doing well, that's when you can push them and hit them more. I mean, how much you're working with people one-on-one, discussions, how much of that do you do? Because I don't think the general public realizes.
I had to do way too much. Yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot. I mean, it was individual. It was team, constantly keeping the team, you know, focused and you know, almost I had times I would say to myself, I can't meet with the guys again. Like we can't have another meeting. I gotta leave it alone. You know, like that type of thing. And I wouldn't make them, you know, 30-minute meetings. There would be sometimes just talk to the guys for, you know, go in the locker room and we talk like, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes. But still, you're still meeting. And I don't want to become Charlie Brown, right? I want to make sure that the message is clear. And so there's a very strategic aspect to thinking about when you meet, what do you meet about, what do you say, you know, if we're doing video, the same idea. But we had to do a lot, and the staff was very, very good at that.
Do you ever get in a place where you worry about, like you said, the way you're presenting yourself, how often you're doing it, that maybe it falls on deaf ears? And I don't mean this disrespectfully. I just mean, you know, I think people fall on deaf ears with me sometimes on the radio because they're sick of hearing me talk, right? So
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I spend a lot of time thinking about that. Like, I mean, I'm not conscious of when, where, why, how, you know, who. I'm very aware of that. And then there's also the other part of it is, like, sometimes the NBA don't talk to somebody at all and let them be on their own a little bit and let them try to figure it out a little bit. Like, you know, you got to sometimes let the leash go and sometimes you got to reel it in really hard. It just, and that's, I think that's the finesse. That's the nuances of coaching. The player management, the psyche, that's the most important aspect.
Peter Vermes, Sporting Kansas City coach, joining us here as the Dynamo will take on Sporting Kansas City, their great rivals, in a single elimination playoff match. What about wordsmithing? I mean, you were a commentator for a brief time period, and, you know, I think the one thing you learn as a commentator is if you can say something in two sentences, you don't say it in nine because you could lose your audience. You know, do you think about that too? Do you ever say, hey, I got to make sure that I cut to the chase here and don't, you know, make this nebulous with a heavy volume of words?
Yeah, it's actually, again, a good question. I think there's two things to that. I think one is, yes, you got to be as succinct as possible. But the other thing is, I think you also, I can't do this any other way. It doesn't really matter. But I think you have, I know you have to be dead bullseye honest. You have to, like, you can't shy away from, like when we were 10 games, you know, losing, I was like, guys, we're the only ones that are getting us out of this. Like no team's coming in the playoffs and going to go, we feel really bad for you guys, you know, that you haven't won a game. So here, we'll roll over for this game. It's not going to happen. They want to bury us. Like we're the ones that are going to have to get ourselves out of this. And so I think you also have to face the stuff head on. But again, facing it head on and just sort of being stuck in the mud is not good. You have to face it and you have to have solutions. And I think that's what we did as a staff.
Peter, we're going to close this down. We got two more quick ones here. What was the biggest turning point in this season? Was there a point where you just said, okay, I think it's now really off and running?
Yeah, it was the game against New England early on in the season. We were losing 2-0 at halftime. And I thought, this is the first time I've seen the guys, like they just didn't have anything. The first half, there was nobody in those shirts. And I was like, wow, this, I've never seen this before. And I challenged the guys at halftime and they came out and we scored and we got a man thrown out like 2 minutes after that. Like we're, oh, this is great. And then we get a man thrown out. And next thing you know, we were better in the game and we should have won the game. We lost 2-1, but we were better with a man down and we ran the game and we had the better chances. And that's when I knew that these guys, they're not giving up. They're here. And that was it. That was a big moment for us.
So you lost a very talented guy, your left back, Logan Ndembe. I found that unbelievable that he played with an ACL for 44 minutes. That was amazing, almost shocking to me. And he was playing so well for you, scored goals against St. Louis with Griffin Dorsey. And we're not saying anything here that everybody doesn't know. Everybody knows how much Dorsey's changed the Dynamo. But Logan and Ndembe out, it seems like you just take this in stride and you've got solutions for this and you don't seem to panic.
No, we can't. I mean, we've kind of been through all these injuries anyway, right? Yeah. So a lot of different guys that can play over there. Will they be Logan? No, but we'll find a way. And that's what we have to do. You know, it's not a time for, you know, crying or doing whatever. It's a time for, like you said, it's coming up with a solution and getting prepared. We know that, you know, as you say, Dorsey is, you know, he's end to end. He's got, you know, energy all day. And he's done a lot for them, but at the same time, we'll have to find the strengths in our team based on the guys that we put out in the field. And hopefully that can rule the day.
Peter, listen, as always, thank you very much for coming on Soccer Matters here presented by the Daspit Law Firm. We appreciate all your great insight. I find these conversations fascinating, and I think our listeners do as well. Thank you so much for coming on, and congratulations again on turning the season around, getting in the playoffs with a lot of challenge.
Glenn, it's always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you.
All right, that's Sporting Kansas City's Peter Vermees.